everybody. Welcome back to the show. I am your host, as always, Ben Thomas. You know, one of the industries that the AV world really serves is the world of healthcare. And it's a space, it's a vertical where we continue to evolve our expertise, our service to that industry, and it's constantly changing. So I wanted to dive in a little bit deeper to learn a little bit more sort of about the use cases in the industry, what we need to know as an industry, and how we can continue to build, manufacture, and serve the world of healthcare in a really unique way as an AV community. So to have that conversation and to dive in deeper, I brought on my friend Mike Dermont from Diversified, who leads the healthcare and life sciences practice over there. Mike, good to see you, my friend.
Hey, it's great to be seen and awesome to see you too, Ben.
You know, Mike, you and I had the chance to talk in person about this, and I felt like it was warranted of an entire conversation because we're always, as an industry, trying to find new use cases, expansions, and we can sometimes be really bad about shoehorning things in places maybe that they don't necessarily go, or in places we don't necessarily fully understand. And I'm not pointing any fingers, but the AV industry sometimes has done that to the world of healthcare. So I want to ask, really at a high level, you know, what are some of the challenges that the world of AV is solving in healthcare specifically?
Well, I think first and foremost, and we talked a little bit about this the last time we chatted, I think they're really solving the challenge of patient experience, that patient journey, right? There's so much that goes into healthcare from a physical perspective of treating that patient. That's where traditionally healthcare has been in the past. Patient comes in, they're sick, they want to get them in, they want to get them healthy, they want to get out. I think what we're seeing now is beyond that, that period of time that the patient and the patient's family are within that hospital or healthcare system, truly making it an experience that just isn't, I'm going to use the word transactional, because I think healthcare was very transactional past. In the past, we now want to create a journey for that patient that really is more of a relationship, the relationship that they're having with the care staff and the overall hospital setting.
You know, Mike, one place that we kind of uniquely serve, and I've got four or five members, including my wife and sister, who are in healthcare, and they talk about some of the staffing challenges. And I think obviously we want to start with the patient experience and sort of work backwards from there, right? But obviously as part of that is sort of staffing challenges and monitoring, and the nurses are having to monitor eight different patients at the same time. Our technology has evolved so much to where now things like nurse stations, patient monitoring, EHR delivery has gotten so much more streamlined. How do you see our technology being used to really help support some of that staff that's there as well?
You know, that's a great question, because nursing, staffing of nurses has been a challenge for as long as I've been in healthcare. I mean, I can go back 20 years when one of my biggest challenges when I was in the emergency medical transport business, we flew patients in helicopters. It was finding the nurses to transport those patients. So this isn't something that's new. What technology allows the nursing staff to do is actually provide more care to more patients with less people, right? So put it, you know, you mentioned nursing stations. By having the right technology in place, whether it's through monitor or communication with patients within rooms, it's allowing that caregiver to reach out and touch more of those patients from a virtual perspective, and then keeping that operational flow moving. If you think about the time that it takes a nurse to go from room to room to room, right? That could take hours, as opposed to some of the easier tasks, vitals, just checking in on a patient, getting information. They really don't have to leave the nursing station to do that. And then having the in-room monitoring systems, which can monitor all that stuff remotely, correct? I mean, you know, you think about it. If a patient's vitals start to spike or to change, they're going to get a warning at the nurse's station rather than the patient having to push a button. You know, so I think technology really drives that operational efficiency.
Yeah, well, look, even you talk about things like PTZs for at-risk patient monitoring, audio intelligibility being important, right? Obviously, pick up patterns of microphones and things like that. And things that you wouldn't always think about necessarily as part of that patient experience and part of that operator experience, but it's really important because now we're empowering that to happen. And I think it's helpful sort of from a baseline standpoint, but Mike, obviously we sort of hinted at it at the beginning, you know, there are some non-traditional aspects of the community, right? You talk about things like HIPAA or cybersecurity requirements. What are some of those maybe differences that we don't always get right as an AV community that we need to maybe do a little bit more research about when really expanding into healthcare?
What specifically around HIPAA and cybersecurity? Is that the question you're asking?
I think we'll start with that, right? And then maybe after that, we'll dive into things like buying cycles, stakeholder decision
Sure,
makers, stuff
sure.
like
So, well, you know, we've talked about this offline, Ben. You know, HIPAA is, it's a big red flag for everybody, especially in the technology perspective, right? Because you're transporting patient information. The key there is that you have end-to-end encryption. You want to make sure that any information that is patient sensitive is encrypted. Now, within a health system, a hospital healthcare system, that's all being taken care of with the infrastructure within the hospital, right? Cybersecurity as well. It's when you start operating outside of that. Now, as an integrator, the partners that we work with in the healthcare setting from a technology perspective, they're covering all that. So it's not that we have to be overly concerned with it. We certainly have to be aware with it. We aware of it, and we have to understand how that patient information is being transmitted and what that security looks like. So that works. There's two areas we have to work with as an integrator, with our manufacturer partners, our alliance partners, and then with the hospital InfoSec. So I don't like to get hung up on it too much. I know that it's major. I don't want to minimize the importance of that. We do need to be aware. But I think, and I firmly believe that when you look at the technology that's out there today, they're buttoned up pretty tight. The only caveat I would say is when you're operating outside of the healthcare system, and I'll use telemedicine as an example. When you're providing services into a patient's actual home, the security is going to change quite a bit there because you have to make sure that endpoint within the patient setting, which would be their home, is secure. That's not something that we get into as at Diversified. Our technology, our AV services are provided within the healthcare system.
You know, Mike, I appreciate that context. You also brought up the InfoSec team. Obviously, that's sort of our go-to contact in that world. But who are some of those stakeholders typically that own a lot of that, right? Is it primarily IT? Is it HR, compliance, COO?
Everybody.
You know,
Yeah, it's everybody, you know, and it so you've got legal aspects. We talked about risk assessment, right? So you got your InfoSec team, you have your IT network team. Of course, you have clinical operations. So I think one of your questions was the buying patterns. And we talked a little bit about this before. When you're having these conversations with prospects, with clients, you want to make sure that you have each one of those figureheads or departments at the table, because you can go through months and months of negotiations and conversation. If you don't have the risk assessment, the InfoSec folks at the table, you're going to have to start those conversations over again. So, you know, I know that the first reaction when we think about AV is to let's reach out to our AV counterparts within the hospitals, within those organizations. Make sure that you're having the right people when it comes to clinical operations, legal. We talked about InfoSec and risk. They have a stake and they need to have a voice.
From a buying cycle standpoint, how typically do you find yourself coming in the door? Is it through, hey, we're going to cost savings, ROI, P&L, or is it patient experience, or is it compliance? Is it we're a rural hospital who knows we need to upgrade? I mean, where typically is that point of
You know,
entry?
that's a great question, and I don't think there's one answer for it. One of the beauties of what we offer at Diversified is an advisory services. We have a consultative arm, right, to go in and have that exact conversation with our clients. Now, if it's through an RFP process, which is different than, you know, direct selling, all of that is laid out. But I really think it's through having the conversation and truly understanding what the objective is of this change, whether it's a new hospital building, if it's refurbishing rooms that they have in place, it's truly understanding it. So I can't really give you an answer like this is the point of entry, because it could be every one of those points that you laid out. It truly is understanding your client, asking the right questions, and being able to be that knowledge source that they're looking for to address the concerns and challenges they have.
Well, so I'm curious, and the answer probably is it depends based off of your response to the last question. But you know, when you look at sort of AV deployments and hospitals, success looks different based off of, you know, different, I guess, owners and stakeholders and things like that. But you know, typically, how is success measured? Is it by patient giving a thumbs up on the way out the door? Is it, you know, ROI hitting the P&L? I mean, what typically are some of the outcomes that you're looking to drive?
Yeah, you know, and that's another great question. So I really kind of look at success as a couple different factors. You have the service success, right? The service performance. That's the clinician and patient interaction. How well is that technology working to address that need? Then you have the technical performance, the uptime. You know, you can put a bunch of equipment, and it doesn't matter if it's AV or other equipment. You want it to work when you go to access it. So that's one metric. Financial performance, obviously, people are looking to save money and get more value out of it. So your traditional return on your investment, that's another metric. And I think one that, you know, I like to throw in operational outcomes. That's really the return on the objective. What are you trying to achieve? If it's patient journey, if it's all of those things we talked about, operational efficiencies, everything kind of lumped in together. So I think it's again, it's understanding, having the conversation with a client. A lot of people, you know, a lot of organizations that I've worked for in the past, whether it's in this industry or others, they always talk about ROI, which is important, but the return on the investment only works if all of these other pillars support that.
You know, and obviously the outcome is tied to sort of the initial ask. And I'm curious too. I mean, obviously healthcare is notoriously sort of risk averse, right? It's sort of unique, uniquely one of our industries that, you know, I guess flashy technology isn't always necessarily attractive, right? Because you need predictability and you need outcomes and things like that. But do you normally find for maybe like a demand generation standpoint, folks coming in from the, hey, I'm a hospital that was built in the 70s. I've got to redo my entire speaker system and connect it with this. Or do you see some of that? Hey, we have some dollars we want to spend on experiential type stuff. I mean, where do you typically find a lot of that demand coming from?
It happens in both. We don't see a lot of hospitals from the 70s anymore. maybe the early 2000s and the 90s. I hope we don't see hospitals for the 70s. But again, it, you know, that's going to come down to where they are in their journey. So there are those that have, let's kind of go and answer the second part first. If they have money to spend, that money usually comes in from, let's say, donors, right? They want to have that experiential feeling. So rather than using the traditional static donor wall, you're seeing donor video walls, where they're actually being able to show more than just a person's name on a plaque. They're actually able to show something about that individual. We are seeing more and more of that today, I think, than we have in the past, because you're starting to see these dollars come in. I've got a couple of projects that we're working on right now where we're seeing that. The retrofitting of the older hospitals, I'll call it your 70s hospital example. Absolutely. They want to bring their technology up to current standards. Now, that usually happens in phases because it is, you know, it's expensive, right, to retrofit as it is in a new construction. But there's two parts to that, maybe three. I want to focus on the patient's room and then the operational side of the hospital, right? Because they're two different AV entry points. From a hospital perspective, excuse me, which would be your operational administrative operations, you have your collaboration spaces, your auditoriums, your town halls. So you think of that as any other business or industry. That's one side of the AV. And then you have that patient experience side. We're seeing more activity on the patient within the patient room. That's where we're seeing more opportunity from AV perspective today.
You know, I'm interested. You talked about sort of some of those changing technology standards, and this probably applies to the patient room as well. But, you know, especially obviously as things evolve and people want to use their cell phones and AI and this and that, how often do you see some of those technology standards changing? And if they change regularly, how long typically do healthcare organizations, hospitals have to sort of comply with that? And how typically do you guys fit in that process?
Yeah, well, you are seeing it change. The hospitals move a lot slower than other industries. So, you know, it could be anywhere from 6 to 12 months when they're making those changes. Once they make a decision, they want to do it. But I think when you're talking about your own devices, and that's really interesting, we're not seeing that as much as you're seeing like bring your own device in hospital settings as you are in, let's say, corporate America, corporate 500. However, where you are seeing it is in wayfinding, where you're actually able to connect your cell phone, let's say, to the wayfinding technology that's getting you around that hospital, where you can actually have that interaction. So we are seeing that a little bit more. And our play on that is it's really just working through our alliance partners. If a client comes to me and asks that question and they say, hey, this is what we want to do, I've got a briefcase. I'm just dated myself. I've got a file full of alliance partners that I can work with to bring that technology in, so you can have that real-time location service within a hospital that shows up on your mobile device.
Yeah, Mike, you touched on really probably the most important part of really our entire conversation today, which is collaboration and working with folks, right? Because there may be a problem that they've solved previously that their technology, they just made an update that does this now that helps serve this part of the industry. And that collaboration is so important, especially as we continue to grow and double down in some of these industries like healthcare. You know, what I want to ask is, you know, a lot of people maybe for the first time, maybe saying, hey, look, this is a market where our technology really could work and could serve. How can they come into a diversified or whoever become one of those partners? And really, what questions do they need to ask as they sort of look to make that jump?
Yeah, well, I mean, to come into the organization, obviously, they can reach out to me. I can make that introduction, right? We have a whole department set up for our strategic alliances, which I would connect them with. But I really think, you know, it's about solving a problem. And whether it's a patient problem or it's a hospital problem, it's a healthcare in general problem, if there's a solution out there and what makes that solution different. Because, you know, I mentioned before, I have a whole briefcase of alliance partners. A lot of them do, you know, very similar things. But then when you start breaking it down and you look at, I'll use medical displays as an example. There's only a couple medical displays that can actually be used in a patient room because they're UL certified. You just can't walk in and hang a TV up in a room. So it's understanding what their angle is when it comes to healthcare. And again, it's all about relationships and conversations. I tell the account execs on my team, reach out to our channel partners, have those conversations, you know, spitball ideas. That knowledge, it's a lot easier to accomplish something as a team that, unless it's golf, and even golfers have a team, than it is an individual, right? I mean, it's putting together the right people. It's interesting because I had my monthly pod meeting with my team yesterday, and one of the questions that, and I brought in one of our vendor partners, and one of the questions that was asked to them is, what, and you asked me the same question, what are those call points that you have in healthcare systems? And they gave the same answer that I did. It depends on the challenge that they have and that they're trying to solve. So the moral of the story was, guys, rather than my team going out and just start dialing for dollars, reach out to your alliance partners that have highlighted healthcare as an industry that they specialize in and have the conversation with them. They're the ones that have been doing it for, you know, a lot longer than we have as diversified, and probably than other integrators as well, right? Years of experience. And I'll just throw a name out there, Samsung, huge in the medical industry, huge, not just in hospitals, but in other areas. I mean, they're a wealth of knowledge, and they want to share that information with us as partners, because the better, the more we sell, the better we do, the more opportunity they have.
Well, look, and it's that's where the dollars end up hitting the road. Obviously, you want to make those deals, but you know, it's great to see sort of the willingness that some of those folks are to collaborate with folks, right? And whether that's, hey, we need to see if there's an opportunity here. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But you know, the industry sort of continues to expand. There's a certain willingness to share, yeah, not the secret sauce, right? But industry expertise, because at the end of the day, our community is the backbone for a lot of different industries. And if we can collaborate and share experience and knowledge to help drive our partners and patients to success, really, then the better. But, you know, Mike, I'm certain that there are people that are asking, hey, you know, he said reach out to me. Where do I find this guy? I got to talk to him.
Yeah. So One Diversified, right? Here's my logo there. One Diversified. I could be reached at michael.dermont@onediversified.com. You can reach me by cell phone. I'll give you that, 630-561-0968. Reach out to me. I'd love to have a conversation.
I hope that's a work number that you can turn off, because you never know, the bots may be scraping.
You know what? I get so many texts off, and I'm sure you do too. Every day I get something like about a job where I can make $2,000 to $3,000 a day, you know? Just crazy stuff. So once your name's out, you know, once your information's out on the internet, which mine is, you know, I get scrubbed for everything. So it is what it is.
Hey, well, there you go. At least we're embracing it at this point. But Mike, I'll tell you, this is a conversation really that is a continuing one, and I'm sure we'll have you back on the show soon. But Mike, we appreciate you coming on, and look forward to having you on soon.
It's always a pleasure, Ben. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Mike, and thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to check us out next time on ProAV Today.